BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey, how you doing, podcast listeners? Adam here.
Hey, this is Joe. We are coming to you from in front of the Pyramid Stage here at Glastonbury 2010. I like to say 2010.
Oh, well said, mate.
It's more exciting than saying 2010.
It's 2010. My dad says 2010.
He's old.
He's old. He's past it.
Yesterday's news.
You know, he's not here in the crowd with the young people who are about to see Muse. We've just finished our live show on Six Music. Steve Lamacq is taking over. And they've just finished sort of sound checking up there on the stage. Any minute now, the enormous Blade Runner style set that Muse cart around with them everywhere is going to explode into life. A huge great spaceship is going to come down, and Matt and Johnny and Tony are going to jump out there. And no, Johnny and Donnie.
Johnny and Donnie.
And it's all going to go off in big style.
There's a palpable air of excitement.
This is the biggest crowd that we've seen so far for any Pyramid Stage gig, I think, don't you?
Yeah, this is very atmospheric indeed. As far as the eye can see, there are excited Muse fans ready for the latest Muse. The breaking Muse. I'm making a joke about Muse.
I know, it's good, man. Do you think Jeremy Vine is here?
All the big Muse readers are here.
Because he's a muso.
Nice.
In every sense of the word.
So listen, enjoy the highlights from our show today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be back for a little goodbye at the end.
It's
here we go.
It's very noisy. It's very hard to concentrate on this high quality link.
Yeah, it really is. Here we go.
Hello, good evening from the big British castle. Adam and Joe are at the Glastonbury Festival. It's a simply lovely evening, only slightly spoiled by all the litter and yachts and dreadful deafening pop. When will it stop?
How you doing, man? I mean, you pushed off fairly quickly after last night's show, if you don't mind me
saying. I did, yeah. I was a little bit overtired.
Were you?
I think I had mild sunstroke.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to sleep it off. But I was here earlier than you.
You were, that's absolutely true.
I was here by 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Before the first act was even on, checking out the scene, while you were in Sleepy Land.
I wasn't actually in Sleepy Land because it was a little bit noisy in the hotel.
Well, what were you doing, trying to cycle up the hill again?
I was preparing my band facts.
Really?
Yeah, they're coming up later in the show.
That's exciting.
You'll be reaping the rewards of my early morning work session. But speaking of sunstroke, you know, 1,000 people were treated yesterday for sunstroke.
Is that so?
Yeah. People, if you're listening, yeah, watch out for that sun, whether you're at Glastonbury or not. It's vicious, thanks to Al Gore, and you've really got to cover up, otherwise you're in troublelogs.
Yeah.
That's a serious warning there for you.
Troublelogs.
Troublelogs. That's the worst kind of trouble.
Right.
Yeah, like logs of it.
Yeah, logs and logs.
But then I wandered around after the show last night for a while, and me and James, the producer, went and had a little drinky and had some fun and met some folks. And then I didn't cycle back. I put my bike on the big BBC coach, right? Because I thought it would be a bit irresponsible to cycle back after a PIMS. But then when I got on the bus, I started thinking, I need a little whizzle-wazzle. I'll hang on. You know, it's only 6 miles to Wells. It's not a big problem. But then you have to wait for like half an hour for everyone to get on the bus. Is Steve Lamacq on the bus? Yes, he is. You know, is Gideon on the bus? And a half an hour later, we finally pull away. And then it takes ages to actually get off the site because you've got to wait for all the confused Biffy Clyro fans to clear the road and stuff. And so then we're going back. It's taking ages and ages. Meanwhile, I am busting by this point. And then we're about half... I'm thinking, we must be nearly there by now. We're driving down late night roads. I'm thinking, and we get to a little conurbation. I'm thinking, this is the outskirts of Wells. Surely we're nearly there. I can hang on, even though it's like a stabbing pain now in my groinal zone. And then I see a sign saying, Wells, 7 miles.
Oh, no.
I'm in total trouble. I had to stop the bus.
Or no.
Yeah, James, the producer, stopped. He said, do you want me to stop the bus for you?
And did you get out and do your whizzle-wazzle in the hedge?
Yeah.
And did the whole of the BBC radio crew watch you do it?
Yeah, they did. I said like a little, sorry, guys, a bladder emergency. But it was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life.
Wow.
It was like being 16 again.
Your tiny bladder causes you so many problems.
Honestly, because I cycle everywhere, it's usually not a problem. I can just whizzle anywhere I like.
You should write a book, like David Byrne's cycling book. You could just do a book about emergency whizzles.
Oh, I've had so many. But the last one in my life I haven't had since I was about six, and I was at Disneyland and my dad had to stop the ride where you go and through the Jungle Cruise.
No.
I needed to go for a wee in the Jungle Cruise, and so he had to turn the boat back.
You should have just done it on an animatronic gorilla.
I would have been up for it. Just whizzed on a hippo's head or something. Would have added to it.
I'm having a lovely time at the festival, though I can't remember where I put my tent. I've been walking round and round, but my tent cannot be found, and I've lost my keys and wallet and my friends. This is fun.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, coming to you live from the Glastonbury Festival in Somerset.
Somerset's beautiful.
Home of delicious apples. I have to say, the apples in the BBC catering restaurant area are really succulent and
catering
delicious.
Catering in general is tip-top.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. What's the name of the restaurant again?
Eat to the Beat.
Eat to the Beat. That's where we interviewed wild beasts. Mm. That's coming up later on in the programme, after about 9:30.
Yes, we say interviewed.
Well, we did a sort of quiz between Joe and the wild beasts.
Sort of scared and upset them.
That's possible.
Confused them.
They're quite shy chaps. They were lovely, though. And while we were in there, we were trying to think of alternate names for restaurants in BBC compounds at festivals.
Restaurants?
I got told off the other day by someone for pronouncing the T at the end of restaurant.
Restaurant. Yeah. So now you've adjusted your behaviour to say restaurant.
Yeah, I like to do everything that people tell me.
Do you say Michelin or Michelin?
Michelin.
You say Michelin?
Oui.
Of course you do.
And I say pizza.
Do you? Well, then you're an idiot.
Did you say urine?
Urine.
And I say rosé instead of rosé.
Rosé?
Rosé.
Yeah.
Rosé, ouais. Hey, are you a facts fan?
They're all right. They're all right. They're all right. You know?
I was hoping for something more positive.
I was trying to go in a different and unexpected direction.
Well, maybe this will change your mind.
Bam facts.
Now,
I like that noise.
Yeah, it's nice.
That dingly bell noise.
It's like a lady noise.
It's woken me up. It's a lady noise.
It's like a lady noise. That's the sound that happens in ladies' minds.
Really, when they have an idea.
If you see, I think that's what happens in Sarah Jessica Parker's head a lot.
Really?
When she sees a lovely dress.
In a shop window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Muse are playing tonight, Joe.
Yeah.
They're your favourites.
I love Muse.
And they're on the Pyramid Stage. As soon as we stop our show tonight, we are going to take a chopper over to the Pyramid Stage, even though it's only a couple of metres away. Mm. And we are going to hover above the stage as they play an incendiary set.
Oh, a chopper? I've got a bicycle. A chopper bicycle.
Oh, no, I'm going in a helicopter.
An actual chopper?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let me give you some facts about the band that you may not be aware of. These are interesting. Lead singer Matt Bellamy owns a giant perspex and stainless steel house by Lake Como at the foot of the Alps, but he actually lives 6 miles under the ground beneath it in a fortified bunker. Don't know if you knew that. He makes the overground house appear occupied for security purposes by leaving the radio on and standing Matt Bellamy-shaped cardboard cutouts in the windows, which he animates with bits of string tied to squirrels and stuff. He got the idea from watching Home Alone. It's a security precaution. It's a very wise move.
How did you find that out?
It took a while. It took a while. It was a lot of asking around. I spoke to one of the guys that...
Tough being a celebrity.
I spoke to one of the guys that put in his original security system.
Right.
And he had it torn out.
And he lives underground for privacy or security reasons?
Both. Yeah.
Really?
Did you know that Donnie and Johnny, the other two members of...
I'm only just processing the first fact.
It's a big fact.
And now you're shoveling on another one.
Well, that's the way it moves. A fast-moving fact show.
Wow.
The other two members of Muse...
You're like Johnny Ball.
Exactly. I have a beautiful daughter as well.
You do.
So I'm exactly like Johnny Ball. And I'm very good at maths. Donnie and Johnny, the other two members of Muse, live in perspex boxes on the moon. And they're positioned very close to one another so that they can entertain each other by pressing their bare tattooed bottoms up to the walls. Did you know that?
How long has that entertained them?
I mean,
is it
years.
Really?
Yeah.
Years?
Years,
You would have thought it would have worn off.
How long have Muse been successful now?
Years.
Years?
Yeah.
10 years or something?
10 years.
They've been up there for about 10 years. They come to Earth, they do the tour, they go back up and they entertain each other, pressing their bums against the perspex boxes there. Did you know, despite his wealth, Matt Bellamy still forages for all his food in bins, using his whiskery snout to locate various morsels? His favourites are nappies and orange peel.
He eats nappies.
This is what I've been told. I don't know absolutely, 100%, but he loves them. apparently loves them, and orange peel, like really rank old. You know how if you put an orange in the bin and then leave it there for a few days...
It is crunchy.
That's when it's very old. It
well,
gets
I
crunchy.
Think, you know, I'm thinking they could be sold as crisps.
Orange
in
peel
a chic
crisps.
Boutique.
Yeah, but in between, there's a stage when it pollutes the smell of the bin very badly, orange peel. Have you found that?
No.
Final band fact about Muse. 12, and this is, I was amazed when I found this out, 12% of all revenue from their record sales goes to support Muse's three pet charities, which are MaxiLife, which aims to help people whose lives aren't sufficiently intense.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
RIMPUM. That stands for Campaign for Research into Moving Planets Using Mind Power. There's a lot of research going on in that area, and Muse are 100% behind it. And HASPA, that's Help and Support for Peter Andre.
That's nice.
That's a good charity.
That's
I'm a member of HASPA as well.
Hello, this is Matt Bellamy of Muse. We're playing on the main stage tonight, so if you're coming, have fun, of course. But please be sensible, no pushing, shoving, and please pick up after yourselves. Thank you.
We set each other a challenge today, listeners, which was to go and buy each other a Glasto Prezi.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of shopping opportunities here.
I mean, there's shop opportunities everywhere
you
go.
Sort of like a hippie Blue Water.
That's right. I mean, can you imagine what the Pet Shop Boys, who are just about to play the other stage, are doing? Opportunities.
S-H-O-P-P-I-N-G. We're shopping.
And what are they going to be buying each other?
All sorts of knickknacks.
Crazy glasses.
Knickknocks.
Nutty hats, because that's the kind of stuff they wear anyway.
They do. They get all their costumes here every year.
Exactly.
Their pointy hats.
Pointy hats, stupid coats.
Their pointy hats.
Ludicrous boots.
And the pointy hats.
And that's how you maintain the Pet Shop
so
Boys.
We gave each other a kind of maximum price range, didn't we? We said 20 quid.
Quite extravagant for us.
Yeah, and we're going to toss a coin now to decide who gets the gift first.
Can you just tell me if you spent your 20 quid limit?
I can't really tell you that.
Oh, all right, then. We'll just toss the coin and have a look at
the
gift.
Toss the coin. What are you going to call for?
Heads, I give you a present first.
It's tails.
Ah, you give
OMG.
Me something.
OMG. Okay. So, I didn't spend any of my £20.
Did you not?
No, I didn't spend anything on your present.
What did you make it?
I went up to the green fields, right? The Avalon fields, like the old school Glastonbury.
Right.
Away from the din of contemporary rock music.
Yeah.
To the healing fields.
Oh.
Where there's tantric massage, song therapy, ironwork, workshops.
It's my favourite part of
the... You know, very earthy.
Sure.
It's the proper Glastonbury.
Absolutely.
And I went to a special place and made you a special thing.
No,
I did.
Did you?
Now, it's in a sort of... it's in a big British castle catering... what would you call this box?
Yeah, it's a...
Right? If you can see there on the webcam there...
Thank you so much.
Box.
On the top, Joe has written...
Do be very careful
Adam's Glasto gift, handle with care. There's illustrations of a guitar, a microphone, some beer, sunshine, a jazz cigarette, and... Inside.
He's opening it now, listeners.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm so ashamed of my gift now.
I went to this clay therapy place where you can just make stuff out of clay. It was for children. But I went in. I was unafraid. I went in and I sat down and I made Adam a clay homunculus. It's a clay sculpture of the Buccales. You can take it out of its packaging.
It's just extraordinary.
You have to be careful. It might not be set yet.
You made
it's
this with your own hands.
With my own hands.
You've set
the bar. It's a Buxton homunculus.
Look at that.
It's got the beard. It's a good likeness, don't you think?
What
the
am
sailor's
I wearing
hat?
In
You're wearing
thing.
What you always
wear. Like a bow
wear.
Tie?
No.
Oh, no,
those
are pockets.
Those are pockets with big boutons.
Thanks, man. You've made me look really good. I mean, I just don't look that handsome.
Well, luckily with you... as long as you stick a beard and a sailor's hat on it.
It's a funny sailor's hat. It's like a cross between a train driver's hat.
I was in a rush.
And a sailor's hat. But I'm not criticising it. It's a beautiful job.
That would be awful
my
to criticise that.
Doesn't look like that, I would say.
Doesn't it?
No. But you've got my lips absolutely right.
We'll hold it up to the webcam.
Yeah.
So that the listeners can see it.
It's just fantastic, man. Oh, I can't believe you did that. You went creative on my ass.
Yeah.
Damn you. My gifts are awful. And I spent 10 quid. I didn't spend the whole 12, 20. I was walking around for about 4 hours trying to think of stuff.
Really?
Didn't even cross my mind to actually
It was
do
such fun to
creative.
Make. The people who owned the stall actually went off to the loo and to have a shower while I was making it. And they said, do you mind looking after the stall?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was kind of running the stall for a good half hour. And a bit like Richard Dreyfuss at the end of Close Encounters, all these little kids came and started to make clay around me. I was like the king.
I thought you were going to say you started constructing a sculpture of Devil's Mountain.
I should have, shouldn't I?
Out of... wow, this is amazing.
It was very
man.
Therapeutic.
I can't thank you enough. I'm going to have it fired... and then I'm going to...
Have
it,
me fired.
And then I'm going to have you fired. Then I'm going to have James fired. It's just great. I love it. I can't thank you enough. Can I have the money as well?
No.
Oh.
I'm standing in the nude in the open air. I'm really looking forward to Grizzly Bear. I've got bits of food in my hair.
We're here, obviously, at the Glastonbury Festival. We've given each other a challenge to spend £20 on a present for one another.
Joe spent nothing and
I
made a sculpture.
I spent nothing, made something out of clay. Adam's bought me a whole little nest of gifts. There's three gifts here.
Three gifts.
So I'm going to get straight down to it and open the
first
one.
Sure, rip
it
off.
Open this
yeah,
one first?
It's just newspaper. Rip you can just rip it, boy.
Wrapped in today's Guardian, left-leaning newspaper. Not sure whether you've heard of it.
No, I don't agree with the left.
Actually, it's liberal-leaning.
I'm so right-wing that it gets me furious as soon as I see
it. That's a can of energy drink.
Can of energy drink.
That's good, because I need the energy.
Yeah?
To keep the energy up for the energy at the festival.
Have you ever had an energy drink? And don't say the name, because this is
on
the Big British Castle.
My little film that I made, everyone was drinking these.
Oh, were they?
I don't drink these things. Actually, which isn't a good thing to say to someone who's just bought you one as a gift.
No, but you're going to drink it now.
I am going to drink it now.
We'll share it,
I mean,
boy.
They're full of good things that are good for you, aren't they?
They're full of dangerous chemicals. And can you imagine... You got to crack it open on
me. Do I have to crack it open? Okay.
We're going to share this, mate.
Energy drink. All
imagine
right,
what the show's going to be like.
Yeah, it's going to give a real boost
in
to the
15
show.
Minutes, we're going to be going nuts.
Oh, what is that flavour supposed to be?
I hate energy drinks. My worst... Oh, I can already smell it. It has the medicinal funk of the famous ball-based drink.
I'm going to open the second present while I'm having a little bit of the energy
drink.
Why did you buy that? What was the thinking behind it? Just something that's useful at a festival.
I thought it would be funny if we both had it and suddenly we got all jittery.
This is very good. This is great. Look at this. Present number two is a kind of wooden board with cats painted on it.
It's a nice instrument machine. I liked the sound of it. I played with it for a while and I thought we could make some music together.
Thank you for... The same note.
We could go up to the healing fields later and jam.
Present. It's quite atonal.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful gift. Thank you very much.
And finally,
the final gift here is the biggest gift of all. It's a sort of...
It doubles. It's got, I would say, three uses. At least three uses.
Look at that. It's a bongo, a kind of a bongo basin. It's a bongo basin basket.
A bongo basket.
A BBB, a bongo basin
basket.
You
can wear it on your head.
As a hat.
Pop it on
as
your head. It's like
hat-y.
A crown.
There it is.
Look at that, mate.
And it's beautifully embroidered. It's lovely. There's so much lovely handmade tit-tat here at Glastonbury. And that's a really touching, beautiful set of gifts, Adam. Thank you so much.
We do a little concert.
We do a little concert.
Start rapping.
I will in a second. Adam and Joe, Adam and Joe, Adam and Joe with radio. That's all I've got. Wow. We need some more of that energy drink, man.
Yeah, we
That's
do.
A very lovely gift.
Well, I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm dead embarrassed after you made me that sculpture, but still. That's
beautiful.
It's there for what it's worth.
How much
did
you spend?
It was. Do you want to know exact prices?
Yeah.
That... drum was £5. This thing was £2.50.
That's not bad. The basic unit cost here at Glastonbury is £2.
Energy
like
drink.
£2 for a,
£1.50.
A bottle of soda.
Right.
Yeah. You can't get nothing for less than £2 here.
I had a large G&T last night after the show. Guess how much that sent me back?
Fiver?
£7.
No.
£7, sweet baby Christmas. And the cup started to disintegrate before I even finished that flipping thing.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Adam.
It's Joe.
Joe, 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 Joe. Joe. Yes, in your face.
No. Adam. Yes.
Thank you.
Right, let me set the scene for you, listeners. We're sat in the BBC canteen. It's a hot tent. What's the name of this restaurant, Joe?
It's called Le Poupou.
It's not called
No,
Le
it's called...
Eat to the Beat.
It's called Eat to the Beat. Is it really?
Yeah.
Really?
We established that.
Wow.
They've named the restaurant. you wouldn't
have
to the beat.
They would have bothered.
What other restaurant names could you have for a catering tent in a pop festival?
I'm sure whatever names there are, they're out there already.
If there's anyone listening who would like to text us some suggestions for restaurant names at a pop festival, please do so. 64046 is the text number. We're here with Wild Beasts, I'm excited to say. How you doing, chaps?
Great, yeah, we just got off stage. It was awesome.
That's Ben talking. He's guitar and keyboards. Handsome young man, looks a little bit like Morrissey's... No, not really like Morrissey. How would you describe him, Joe?
Just very handsome, like he's just escaped from some sort of a very stylish wind tunnel.
I think you're very handsome also.
Thank you very much. We'll be making love in a matter of seconds.
Now listen, chaps, let's get to the quiz, because we're going to have an exciting quiz now between you chaps, Wild Beasts, and Jay Korn, Joe Cornish.
Yeah, hi, Jay Korn.
Jay Korn is headlining the awkward stage in the Killing Fields tonight. Okay, let's get into the quiz. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you questions and sometimes set you tasks. Lucy, our broadcast assistant, is here and she's scoring the whole thing. She'll use her discretion for some of the rounds. And I will ask you both to answer the questions one at a time and then tell you who's got the right answer. Question one. A group of artists known as the Wild Beasts, or Les Fauves in French, took the art world by storm at the beginning of the 20th century with paintings that often featured bright, unrealistic colours. Jay Korn, name a famous Fauvist.
I thought you were just going to ask me what they were called, and I would have said the Fauvists. A famous Fauvist is... Oh, God, I don't know any Fauvists. Rolf Harris? Is he a Fauvist?
I'll tell you in a second. Let's see, Wild Beasts. Name a famous Fauvist.
I would maybe suggest Henri Matisse, who is the forefather of Fauvism.
Henri Matisse is the correct answer, although I did have Rolf Harris as well. And I also had Ron Wood. Bonus question for you, Jay Korn. What kind of bread did the Fauvists eat?
Have you already got the answer to this?
Yes.
Tell me. You better tell me.
Hovist. Okay. Here's a tough question that everybody's answering at the moment. And I'll ask this to Tom from Wild Beasts first. Who came off worst in the embarrassing set-to between James Corden and Patrick Stewart at the Glamour Awards recently? Were you aware of this set-to?
I am aware of this, yeah. I haven't actually seen the footage, but I imagine James Corden's, whether you find it funny or not, he's a professional comedian, and Patrick Stewart is a professional actor. I suggest that James Corden made Sir Patrick look rather foolish.
Okay, that's Wild Beast's answer. Jay Korn?
I disagree, because, of course, Patrick Stewart is Picard, and he owns a spaceship. So anything he says goes.
The correct answer is it was a tie. They came off equally badly. Okay, next question. Supply the rest of this well-known verse. I'll ask you first, Jay Korn. Darling, the spirit is kicking. Don't be fooled by the moonshine. It's tricking.
My pants are sweaty. They are sticking to my undercarriage. It feels... quite wicked.
And Wild Beasts, could you supply the rest of that line?
Frocks spill like alcopop around girls' knees. Trousers and blouses make excellent sheets down dimly lit streets.
Is the correct answer. That's a line from We Still Got the Taste Dancing on Our Tongues. You must know that one, Joe.
I do, I just didn't want to embarrass the band.
Okay, here's another question for you, chaps. What are the names of the Olympic mascots? And are they embarrassing and patronising, or wicked and fun? That's one for Wild Beasts first. Who wants to take that one?
Is there a lion? No.
Not giving you any help. Jay Korn, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, they're called Bromley and Snot. And they're like blue, aren't they? They're like blue and they've got round faces. They're sort of like mutated Teletubbies. They're called very weird things, aren't they? Like Whittle Cox and Flump or something. What are they called?
Funnily enough, I'm going to give you some points there because Bromley and Snot was one of the names they were considering. Whittle Cox and Flump was one that got vetoed. Whoa. Other names that they considered were Winguy and Runny, Go Brit and Can Do, Coolies and Smart Fart, but they settled on Wenlock and Mandeville.
named after the places where the steel was poured, and Mandeville, where research into disablement was undertaken. Fun fact. Okay, finally, at the end of our quiz, I want you to perform a bit of rapping from your favourite rap song.
Oh, wow.
Who's going to take that one, Wild Beasts?
You got this one.
I'm a rapper live radio.
I'm a millionaire, I'm a young money millionaire. Prefer the Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, I can menstrual bleed. I can't swear on BBC.
That was good, that was good. Hey, very good. All right, Jay Korn, what are you going to go with?
I can do some rapping. Sure, I can do some rapping. You've got to give me a beat, though, Wild Beasts. I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid, so I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up. This is a hold-up. And nothing funny. Stop smiling. Still ain't nothing moved but the money. But now I burnt it on because I'm righteous. I feel great. Maybe I might just search for 9 to 5. Because if I thrive, maybe I'll stay alive. Or walk down the street whistling this. Feeling out of place. Commander, I miss the pen and the paper. Stereotype. I mean, Eric being a nice big plate of fish. It's my favourite dish, but without the money, it's still a wish. Speed rapping. That's the only way to do it.
Are you white by any chance, Jay Korn?
No, I'm not. Oh. Actually.
I didn't realise.
What's the score?
We're going to find out what the score is now from Lucy. How did they do?
Wild Beast got 2.5.
2.5?
The half was for the tie question. I honoured both teams a half.
They both got a point for the tie, okay.
I gave the Wild Beast 8 out of 10 for the rap. I gave Joe 10.
Did you?
Wow.
That's a bit partisan, isn't it?
But he only got 1.5 in the quiz.
And the final scores
so
then?
So the winners are the Wild Beasts.
Hey, congratulations, chaps. Thank you so much for coming in and joining in our kind of kids program.
Thank you.
BBC, 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 BBC.
Adam and Joe and Six Music, jamming and playing new music.
Glastonbury, 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 Glastonbury.
Jamming and playing new music. Adam and Joe and Six Music.
BBC, Glastonbury, Glastonbury, BBC.
Hey man, this is an unrelated question, but it's been bugging me and I would really like to ask you
okay,
this.
Okay, I'll answer it.
Okay, I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks recently.
Right.
Right, when I'm travelling around on the train and that kind of thing, and it's not practical to read an actual book or I'm too lazy. What I want to know is this: if you've listened to an audiobook, is it acceptable thereafter for you to refer to having read that book?
No.
Absolutely not?
I don't think so, no.
Really?
No, it would be an abuse of the word read.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you use read to...
You say, I've had it read to me. And then you sound like the baby that you are.
But listen, what if I've absorbed, as I have, all the information actually more efficiently than I would have done if I'd actually read the thing?
It's because... not the same.
Why?
Because the intonation of the reader puts a particular spin on the information that you would be putting on yourself if you read it in your own head.
That's something I hadn't thought of.
I'm just splitting hairs. I mean, the answer is, yeah, you probably can.
I mean, you've absorbed the information, but you think there's a
they're
value...
They're often abridged as well. They're very often abridged.
I go for the unabridged.
Do
ones.
You?
Sure, I do.
Really?
Because I like things unabridged.
Quite right,
hate
too.
Bridges. Bridges in Madison County, hated it. Yeah. Jeff Bridges, don't rate him. I hate any kind of bridge. Dental bridges, the worst. But if you're absorbing the information, that's one thing, but you put a premium on the actual act of reading words with your mind.
I think so.
Sure.
I think so.
Well, I mean, it's very retrograde.
Do you know when you read a book and you sometimes drift off and find yourself having to reread the page?
Absolutely.
Does that happen when you're listening to an audio book?
No.
Do you drift off?
No, total focus.
Total focus.
Total focus.
Really?
Absolutely. And my recall for the events and the phrases and everything is much better than
really?
It would be.
Do you like the book to be read by the author, or do you like
I prefer
them to
it.
Be read by Patrick Stewart?
Well, it
or
depends.
James Corden.
It depends. We were talking about Ian McEwan the other day on the podcast yesterday. In fact, got the audio book for that one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was read by an actor, and he did a pretty good job of inhabiting the persona of the protagonist.
That's interesting. You prefer the audio books to the written books.
Sure.
I wonder what that said. What does it say about Adam, listeners? What do you think? Send us in some analysis.
I'm not saying that I no longer read books. It's just
I think a therapist would have a field day with
that. It's an added dimension to my book. You know, I get more books in. This is what I'm saying.
Do you? Do you? You listen to them in fast forward?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
But you could cram even more in if you just speeded them up a little
this
bit.
This is time where I otherwise would not be able to read because of certain physical...
It would be like they're all being read by the Stromps.
You were right about the Stromps. They are called the Stromps.
Sure I was.
Good fact knowledge.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
Now I'm going to talk like this for a little bit now, mate. I hope you don't mind.
I'm struggling to identify that accent.
Are
it's
you?
The South African one,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is South African. I'm surprised you didn't realise there's a very important game going on tomorrow, mate.
There is an important football match. I don't know whether anybody's heard. Adam and I are full of information about football. We're big, 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 big fans of football.
Love football.
We love football. And it's interesting that various bands' sets are going to be kind of torpedoed, aren't they, by the footy tomorrow. For instance, Ray Davies at 4:15 on the Pyramid Stage. You know, what's going to go on there? It's the middle of the match, the big match, the big boot.
I don't know if he's a football fan or not, Ray Davies.
Well, I would have thought people who are into football would be into Ray.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen there? What's going to happen to Grizzly Bear at 4:00?
No clash.
It's going to be an audience Dupont.
That's the standard Grizzly
Bear.
Very refined.
Yeah. You and me, we should go see Grizzly Bear.
Definitely. We'll all hold hands.
We don't really care about the football.
No, it's going to be a lovely meeting of people who don't necessarily care about football.
But won't the whooping and the cheering interrupt the Grizzles?
No, it's going to be far away. Surely.
Keane are playing on the Avalon stage.
What are they doing on the Avalon stage?
Maybe some experimental material.
Right.
So anyway...
Do you think, though, that during the... Do you think that people have brought with them vuvuzelas?
I sincerely hope so.
You sincerely hope so?
Well, they're on sale out there. I've seen vuvuzelas on sale.
Why
yeah.
didn't you get me one of them?
Why didn't you get me one of them?
Well, if I'd found one, I would have got you one of them.
Aggressive very fast.
Sorry.
God.
What do you think about the vuvuzela, mate? Do you love it?
I don't mind it. I think it's quite exotic.
The Lepidata. That's the Tswana name.
My friend said it sounds like a bee has got stuck in the commentary booth.
Funny you should say that. It's like a swarm of bees, isn't it? Here's a clip of an actual swarm of bees. When you get closer to the vuvuzela, it's a far more aggressive sound.
Yeah.
Do you find it unpleasant? I mean, it's nice when it's just in the background,
you
like
know,
the bees.
I find the whole shebang quite boring.
Oh, do
so
you?
The sound of bees...
is the least of it.
It doesn't really change things. That's what I usually... Not only do I get a sound, like a monotonous buzzing in my ear when I look at football,
yeah.
but I just get sort of a green wash.
Right.
With dotty men moving around.
It's kind of football...
No change.
Football tinnitus. Do you think that people in South Africa are going to be left with that sound for years to come now, just the sound of bees in their mind?
Well, that's their national noise, isn't it?
Yes.
They do it at all events,
that's
right?
That's right. They do it at weddings, yeah. mate.
Do they do it at
yes.
weddings? Do they do it at concerts as well?
Concerts, vuvuzela concerts.
That wouldn't be very good, would it?
Lepidata concert, Lepidatas. That's what they're called.
What are they?
Oh, that's the Tswana name.
Is it?
Yes, for the vuvuzela.
I think this accent's questionable.
Is it? Do you reckon?
I don't know, but I get that.
It's authentic!
My spidey sense is saying that it's maybe it's maybe tiptoeing on some sort of big British castle line.
Do you think it's on PC?
I don't know.
Anyway, listen, I thought you might be interested to hear some of the national horn noises
yes,
from other countries.
I would be.
That's good. here's one from Denmark, where they use something called the Baba Fubaba.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Yeah, this is what it sounds like just on it. This is a small group of people playing it.
Is that an instrument that sounds like vocalized?
It does, doesn't it?
Doesn't
sounds
it?
Like people just
what does it
saying
look like?
It.
What's it called again?
A Baba Fubaba.
A Baba Fubaba. What does it look like?
It's like a big leather globe.
Big leather globe.
Yeah.
I thought it looked a bit like a hookah.
No, there's an attachment.
Is there?
That looks like that.
Wow, that must get annoying.
Well, you know, they love it, though. It's very traditional in Denmark. Mm. In Australia, they have something called a mehe.
No, I've heard about that one as well.
And that's an ancient one. The Aborigines
really? Yeah.
used to use it, and then it died out, and then it's come back for yeah. sporting events. Here's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
This is so rubbish, isn't it?
It's the best thing I've ever heard. What are you talking about?
That would be good at a sports match, though, wouldn't it?
What do you mean, would be?
I mean, it is good. In Australia. Is it Australia? Yeah. I'm forgetting my own rubbish. Okay, here's
another one.
Yeah.
What country is this from?
Italy.
Italy.
Yes.
Ah. Why do I get the feeling this is going to conform to some sort of national stereotype?
Well, it's... Why? What kind of thing are you imagining?
I don't know. Something like the...
something like the Mario.
The Dolmio family.
Oh, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just a nose of this, a kind of nose of this, a kind of... No.
No.
Nothing like that. This is the Oahoho.
What does that look like?
I tell you exactly what this looks like.
Tell me exactly what this looks like.
A beautiful woman.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
What, the size of a beautiful woman?
What's it
made from, if not flesh and blood?
Clay.
Clay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to hear what it sounds like?
Yes. Are they blowing into it?
Yes, exactly. It's the breath. It takes a lot of breath. You have to puff up your cheeks. And you blow. I'm not going to tell you whereabouts you blow, but...
It's making different noises. Are there different orifices from which the noises emerge?
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Why don't you hear these instruments when there are football games?
Funny, you should say
countries?
That.
Have they been banned?
No, they haven't been banned. Here's what that particular instrument sounds like when there's a real football match going on.
The run of Gareth Barry. His right foot just gets into the day. There's still a lot to do there. Peter Crouch.
Barry. I mean...
Hang on, I know this is a good game. Keep playing it. Barry.
I mean, obviously that's not in Italy.
It's a bit distracting.
Sometimes I should try less hard. And that's the end of the podcast.
Now here's a goodbye link. That's it from us. I just heard the little boy that I punched in the face earlier on is more or less fine, so don't worry about that. Thank you, good night.
There you go, listeners. Hope you enjoyed our show. And I'm crashing now after the energy drink.
Yeah, it was an intense rush.
I mean, it was a real rush. I was flying for the last half hour of
amazing.
The show.
It transformed the programme, don't you think?
I was hopping around.
What a boost, what a rush.
Yeah, it was amazing. But now I'm feeling a little bit low, a little bit depressed. Also, in all the excitement, we forgot to think about some of the alternate restaurant names.
You really put me on the spot there with the wild beasts to try and name the BBC catering area.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I delivered, so belatedly I've thought of some restaurant names for the BBC catering service.
What have you got?
I've got BBC Bun.
BBC Bun, is it now?
Yeah, I've got BBC Chew.
Okay.
I've got BBC Peas.
Right, are you just going to...
And I've got BBC Fork.
BBC Fork?
Yeah, come on. That's a different catering area for each of the BBC's main
How
stations.
About this? This is a retro one.
Yeah.
BBC Menu Choice.
Nice. That's like a riff on the old name for BBC Three.
Here's one my brother came up with, right?
Right.
My brother Dave, Uncle Dave as we call him.
You gave your brother a sort of written shout-out on the show by writing on a piece of paper and holding it in front of the webcam.
Yeah, he texted me during the show, and so I gave him a shout-out.
And he rewarded you with the following name for a BBC restaurant.
He rewarded me with the following extraordinary name for a BBC restaurant. Food for thought. Uncle Dave, what is that?
If this was a literary festival,
you
did. Then maybe that would be amusing. I wouldn't be that amusing, but at least there'd be a little tiny little speck of amusement.
I mean, that is in no way acceptable. There's no BBC joke there.
Now your brother is being publicly hauled over the coals.
It's not connected to the festival.
Do you think this will teach him?
I hope it will.
He has to learn one day.
Food for thought, Uncle Dave.
What a show, though. The Wild Beasts were wonderful, weren't they? What a lovely bunch
of
lads.
Nice chaps,
very talented.
The main guy, like the main singer guy, one of the main singer guys, is, can I use the word rocking? I mean, that's something that Dermot O'Leary would say, isn't it? He was rocking
nothing
a very 80s look. I'm not saying there is anything wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Putting
man.
It out there just
Stop
in case
saying
Dermot
wrong.
Wants to come and get his phrase back.
Stop being rude about Dermot.
I'm not being, I love the man.
Why are you being rude
Absolutely
about Dermot?
I love that he's got superior skills. He's handsome. He's
hosts the X Factor, something I'd love to do.
Would you?
I'd love to.
Would you?
Oh.
So now we're going to go off and see some bands. I believe Hanson are playing on the main stage.
We've got a fuzz box and we're going to use it.
Daz Sampson is playing on the other stage. And of
Jimmy
course,
the
S
Hoover.
Club Junior's headlining on the Pyramid.
Muse have pulled out. That was a big surprise to everyone.
S Club Juniors have reformed and stepped in, so there's some real excitement here on the site. And of course, Doctor and the Medics headlining tomorrow.
Although they're refusing to play Spirit in the Sky.
Well, they got new material and everyone's excited about it.
It's a disappointment. But we'll be back with you same time tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
I love you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4. Six Music.